This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth. Yeah, I'm the purveyor around here, the proprietor, whatever you want to call it, of impropriety at times, Stu Zimmerman, and I just want to invite you back. And if you haven't been here before, welcome, because we talk about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. We're talking about this joy for living. You know the joie de vivre, as I say in Francais. You know what we're talking about. It's not just the money. No matter, and we know that we tend to define our wealth in financial terms. We know that's our conditioning. We know that we've been viewing it, for many of us, as a scorecard. And we know that no matter how much the media tells us to keep spending, no matter how much President Bush may tell us to keep spending, for whatever reason, we know on a profound level that we can't spend our way into what we really want in our lives. Which is, do I have to fill in the blank? Okay. How about peace of mind? That's a novel one, isn't it? How about no more suffering? No more suffering. Yes, the pain, whether it's emotional pain or sadness or anger from time to time, or certainly physical pain, it really is part of our human condition. And I don't think there's any way around that. But the suffering, you know, isn't that optional? A lot of it is. A lot of it is. So we take a look at how to go beyond our ordinary existence to an extraordinary one, where we really do live a wealthy life. And along those lines, we have a great guest today, Azeem Jamal. He hails from Canada. Doesn't sound Canadian, but yeah, he does. And he is known as the corporate Sufi. So he brings, with an international flair, his own inspirations to corporate, I'll say America, but actually America and the world. It's corporate world at this point. And it is, because, and we'll get into this a little bit in the bowl of stew. I mean, we are just not necessarily the only economic superpower. In fact, you can put that super in quotes right now. With Azeem, we also have with us Kevin Grauman, a great Brain Trust member, also a businessman extraordinaire. He was Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young, founded and built and sold the Outsource Group for a nice chunk of change. Congratulations, Kevin. And he's founded a new company called the Importal Group, which is a human resources software company. Kevin is a great thinker, a big heart, and his observations can really make a difference in our own lives. Before we get to Azeem and Kevin, you get this week's Bowl of Stew. You know, there really is a direct correlation between spirituality and money. There really is. And sometimes we think it's absolutely opposite, right? The money's over here. You check your spirituality at the door because it's not personal. It's just business. And you got to plow through everything and basically take the Donald Trump school of no prisoners. Okay, that's just one school of thought. Or you get the chainsaw Al Dunlap, you know, where it's about whacking heads to reduce costs, to maximize profits, and squeeze the last bit of juice out of whatever assets are in a company for the, you know, the benefit of a few. Well, all I can say is, just like we all know that the mind-body-spirit connection is very real, it's very real, so too is the connection between spiritual wealth and financial wealth. And you know what? It works both ways. So let's really cut to the truth here in terms of where we are in America right now. Because I think it's well understood, and if we really are going to be honest here, let's take off the rose-colored glasses for a minute. Let's shed our sense of arrogance of where we may have been 30 years ago or 20 years ago in terms of being an economic superpower. I'm looking at the reality today. In fact, I read an article a couple of weeks ago by Tom Friedman in the New York Times talking about how Singapore, Dubai, I mean, these are like city-states. You know, their airports are absolutely, he compares it to Jetson versus our JFK being like Flintstone, you know. And it's true, absolutely, that we are borrowing money left and right from them, Chinese, other emerging countries, to pay for our own standard of living, for a war over there, to export our sense of democracy to another country, when frankly, it looks like in many ways we've got difficulties keeping it here in our own country, if you know what I mean. So let's call it out for what it is, and let's just take a look of where we are realistically, okay? Because it is true that a lot of the political candidates who, you know, let's talk them about them specifically, of being McCain and Clinton, and we are pre-recording this, so Hillary may not even be running by the time this thing is airing, but you never know. She's vowing that she's a fighter, which, of course, is another one of those us and them comments, where we need to have somebody fighting all the time, and she has our back. She told us so. And once again, because of somebody who's going to be attacking us from behind, or so it's implied. But take a look at where we are economically, okay? And I would make a strong argument that our subprime situation, where we buy the American dream on some kind of mortgaged loan that's going to have negative amortization and all this other stuff going on, it's actually a form of spiritual corruption, where somehow we're being sold on something that, oh, all you need is this bigger house, all you need is the extra car, all you need is these other things, the piece of bling, and all this other stuff. And that is the American dream. So you need to borrow all that money to let Mr. Jones know down the street that you're keeping pace with him, and then you're somebody who should be well-respected as a result. And where, in fact, does that lead us? Where does it lead us that we have not invested until very recently in alternative energies? And instead, going back to the 70s, and we knew it 35 years ago when there were gas lines and there were odd and even days on a license plate when you can get gas. We knew back then that fossil fuel oil was unsustainable in terms of our way of being. And we knew that we were becoming increasingly dependent on other countries who may or may not actually like us or believe in our way of life to supply us with this fossil fuel. And yeah, we did nothing about it. We did absolutely nothing about it for how many years? Plenty. And now it's coming home to roost. And now it's coming home to roost where they may have our, you know, our nuts in a vice, so to speak. Even if you're a woman. And that's just that is just on the fuel side of things. It has all these implications. I got to tell you, in case you didn't notice, have you gone to the supermarket recently? You know, whether it's cost of fertilizer, which is fossil fuel based, or just the cost of transportation of all the stuff we want and need, it's all going up. And it's a lot of it is because of a spiritual corruption that focuses on maximizing profits in a short term and focusing on the wealth in the hands of a few. The reason why I'm bringing this up is that it works both ways. And with a spiritual abundance comes a financial abundance. I'm inviting you to take a very hard look at that. Our featured guest today is Azim Jamal. He's known as the corporate Sufi, and we'll find out real briefly what all that really means. He's an international inspirational speaker, management consultant, and executive coach, coming from the accounting background, so that's an interesting segue right there. And Azim has been spreading his unique, thought-provoking message around the world and is an author of a number of books, including The Power of Giving. Azim, thank you so much for being here today, and welcome to Inside Wealth.
My pleasure, Stu.
Before we get into what it is to be a corporate Sufi, what it all means, and the power of giving, how do you define success?
Well, you know, I remember my mentor, or somebody I look up to, Og Mandino, saying, success without happiness is the biggest failure.
So how do you go about your own... So that means you're equating success with happiness.
Well, yeah, ultimately, you know, you want to make money because you think money will make you happy. You want to have, power because you think power will make you happy. You want to have a good family because you think good family will make you happy. Ultimately, it's the happiness that we are looking for as the end result. And if what we're chasing is not giving us happiness, then perhaps you're chasing the wrong goal, right?
Yeah. So what is your personal recipe for your own success?
Well, I think, you know, personally, if I can live today and create a positive change to all the encounters that I have today with my family, with a colleague, with this interview, and make a difference, then to me, it's a day well lived, right? And that's where I have control over. That's where I have the impact on, and all my energies are directed towards that.
So, okay, and that, so thank you. And now we really need to find out a little more in terms of what it is to be a corporate Sufi. Because I'm not even sure a lot of people in the United States here even know what a Sufi is. So yeah, maybe you could explain that and then explain what a corporate Sufi is.
Yeah, well, let's say, I mean, everybody's familiar with the word corporate. And corporate implies ambition, business, commerce, success, power, material abundance. We're familiar with that. Sufi, I use it as a metaphor to define looking at the essence, not the form, being grounded in principles, values, ethics, believing in the power of giving, and wanting spiritual abundance. So when you marry the word corporate and Sufi, you get a corporate Sufi where you blend the two, where you have someone who is efficient, goal-oriented, productive, heart-centered, principle-centered, balanced individual who wants both material abundance and spiritual abundance.
And so how did you come about coming from the accounting profession and going beyond the numbers into this this accounting for life, as you mentioned off air?
Well, you know, I changed from accounting for business to accounting for life when I went to do some voluntary work in the developing world. And I went as an accountant to do budgeting. And when I was there, I was exposed to some real harsh realities. And there was a moment when I, you know, witnessed some abject poverty. And I was taking a cab ride back to my hotel. And I was crying like a baby. I was sobbing like a baby. And in those 25 minutes of the cab ride, I went through what I call a defining moment when, you know, my soul was shaken and I had to ask the hard questions, you know, what can I do in my life to make a difference? And I realized even though I had 3 professional accounting degrees, even though I made $200 an hour, I wasn't passionate as an accountant, and I kind of dig deep to find out what was my real calling, my real gift, and I realized it was not accounting, but it was speaking and coaching and writing.
Can you share a little bit about your process and coming to this understanding? Is it something that came by the end of the car ride or in the taxi, or is it something that you actually found yourself going through a deeper and longer process?
I think, you know, it's an evolution. I mean, obviously, it's there somewhere. The seed is there, and you have been, you know, keeping it secret or keeping it hiding, and something like this happens. And then when I went to the hotel, I met with my colleague, and he saw my face, and he realized there was something wrong, and he asked me, Azim, what's wrong? I didn't want to talk to him. I wanted to go to my room and cry some more because I was really shaken. But my colleague was a business-minded person, and he was probing and wanted an answer from me. So without thinking, I tell him that if I had to die for one cause, I would die for a cause like this, helping people who are in this kind of situation. And when I was sleeping at night, I realized, you know, what I said, you know, I mean, if I die, big deal. How did I help them? Nothing, right? So what can I do in my life that I can significantly help people like this? And I realized that, you know, that's when I really had to go through a sleepless night. And of course, as you say, it's not a sudden thing. Of course, there are other things that have happened in your life that have led to this final kind of revelation for yourself. But that was a trigger. I guess that was a defining moment which really nudged my move towards this change.
We are talking with Azim Jamal, who is an international inspirational speaker and management consultant, executive coach, literally going around the world quarterly for a month out of every 3, working with companies in all diverse areas like Turkey and, you know, African countries and every Asia. And, you know, Azim, I'm kind of curious. I'd love you to elaborate a little more on spiritual abundance and its relationship to material abundance.
Yeah, I think that's my corporate Sufi model, basically, where I encourage corporations to do well, to achieve success, acquire material abundance through principles, values, ethics, and use the success to create positive change, because I believe that that creates a balance, that creates, I mean, there's many research done recently. There's a, you know, there's a book out called What Got You Here Will Not Get You There, and in that research, they've interviewed 200 people who could at a drop of a hat go to another job and get paid twice as much, but they didn't go because they were working in a company which they loved. It was a passion for them. You know, they were loving the people they worked with, and they were able to contribute and make a difference. So ultimately, when your company does engage in giving back, you find that you're able to retain people, find good people, harness the energy of good people, and ultimately, you know, create better profits for yourself.
We're here with Azeem Jamal, and stay tuned for more, where we'll learn more about how to take this philosophy of spiritual and material abundance to new levels in our lives and businesses, right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. You have a business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to InsideWealth.net and sponsor radio that makes a difference. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on earth.
Imagine, you're lying in your bed stranded because you can't walk. Your friends and family go about their day, but you're left behind. You can't move without dragging your lifeless legs across the ground, stumbling every step, struggling to carry the entire weight of your body on two arms. This is reality for more than 100 million children and adults worldwide. They simply can't afford the one thing that will change everything, a wheelchair. We're the Wheelchair Foundation. We deliver hope, mobility, and freedom to impoverished people across the globe. And now you can be part of this great mission. A small gift from you can buy a brand new wheelchair and set a suffering person free. You won't believe how little it takes. Transform a life instantly. To make a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation.
Call toll free 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy, as well as receive unconditional love. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1ARF today. Please give puppies and kittens another chance.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Introducing the greatest old-time radio shows of the 20th century, selected by Walter Cronkite. 20 hours of classic radio, including Orson Welles' legendary War of the Worlds, The Lone Ranger, and The Shadow. Plus comedy greats Jack Benny, Abbott and Costello.
I'm not asking you who's on
second. Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And more. This digitally remastered cassette compilation comes complete with a 32-page commemorative booklet. Call now to order. You'll get 36 episodes for just $29.95 plus shipping and handling. That's 50% off the regular price. CD also available. As a bonus, you'll also get two episodes of The Bob Hope Show free. Old Time Radio is great family entertainment for listeners of all ages and makes a perfect gift. Order now.
Look, Bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
For the greatest old time radio shows, call now 800-622-3488. That's 800-622-3488.
Hi, it's Stu Zimmerman with Inside Wealth, merging your self-worth with your net worth right here on Talk 910 KNEW San Francisco. We're here with Azeem Jamal. He's known as the Corporate Sufi, who's a management consultant literally around the world, an executive coach, and he's been taking this unique and thought-provoking message of spiritual abundance and material abundance and really merging the two. And how does that play around the world? Is this something that is more accessible in other countries than it is here, perhaps, Azeem?
I don't think so. You know, the more you travel, the more you realize that the essence of people is the same, right? I mean, of course, there are different cultures, different styles, different backgrounds. But at the end of the day, you know, we are all human beings, and we have a deeper desire inside us to create positive change, you know, and that's why that's something that's inherent in all human beings, and I think that's the connector between all people.
And are you finding that even here in the States or in North America that this notion of spiritual abundance and happiness combined with that heart-centered or principle-centered mindset is something that people are open to and are actively wanting to make greater strides in?
I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, there's many, even the book, The Forms of Endearment, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they, in their research, I did about 30 corporations, and they identified that 30 corporations did 8 times better than the S&P 500 index for the 10 years ending June 30, 2006. And if you look at what these forms of endearment were about, the core principles were humanistic principles, you know, which had at the center something more than just material, right? And I think, you know, every human being, you know, is hardwired inside them to be able to give, create change. And when you're able to ignite that spark within them, there's much more impact and much more potential to do better in their lives because they're able to tap into their genius inside them.
So then when we're talking about this genius inside them and we're talking about this sense of abundance from within, how is that being, you know, how is that being brought forth through a company? Is it in their culture? Is it in a philanthropy policy? What are you seeing in terms of the ways in which this can be grounded, communicated, and put into action?
I think many times it starts with the leader in the company, but, you know, it's a culture that is created within the company, but everybody feels that way. I mean, there are many, many examples. If you look at, you know, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, for example, started many years ago as a private company. I think it's still a private company, and it's, you know, it went from a small business to a $9 billion worth. And if you look at, you know, some of the things they do, the 8 things that they have as their motto or something, if you look at it, well, it's all about giving something, right? Listening to your customer, making sure they talk about the big difference between being satisfied and a completely satisfied customer. When a customer is completely satisfied, there's a different kind of energy, different kind of impact, different kind of, you know, word of mouth, et cetera, that triggers in. So when 9/11 happened, for example, Enterprise Rent-A-Car gave away 5,000 cars to people who were stuck, and they didn't get the car back for months on end. But they did it because it was in their, you know, in their culture to give and make a difference and show to the people that we care. Yes, profit is very important, but ultimately, when you start showing that you care, you get it back one way or the other. I mean, if you look at Starbucks, I mean, I know right recently they're struggling in Seattle and selling coffee for a buck, but generally their success, if you look at it, is creating a good experience for the customer. The employees are more like partners. You know, if somebody is waiting outside and their store is not opened yet because the guy is early or a girl is early, they'll open the store to just let the customer in because they believe in, you know, in being flexible and allowing the customer to feel important. And all these things are part of many, many companies who have realized that, you know, it's when you start giving and creating that culture that you create an environment where people thrive and excel.
Again, we're here with Azeem Jamal. And so, Azeem, what do you think? I mean, you think we're at a crossroads here, you know, because it does seem that there has been a legacy of business where it's all about the numbers. And you know that as an accountant better than anybody. And we are amassing more and more information and data to support this notion of a vibrant culture, one of giving, one of caring, dedication to excellence of service, having a direct correlation to sustainable profitability and outperforming peer groups and market share and all the rest. What do you think? I mean, you think there's a possibility here that we could actually be taking through business, having business actually lead society in many ways to be a more giving, open-hearted, and this would be really ironic given the fact they're all about money in the first place, ostensibly, but that they can actually help to lead society to be more, you know, a culture of giving?
I think it's a great question, Stu. And, you know, one of my principles in corporate Sufi is really that I believe that corporations have the muscles, they have the power, they have the ability to create positive change. And so if they become proactive and they become active in the whole area of wanting to make that change. Yes, I mean, bottom line is profits. You can never, you know, without making profits, you can't help anybody. And that's why I marry corporate and Sufi, because a Sufi can learn from a corporate person. Because Sufi is too laid back, you know, he's in meditation and more spiritual, but forgets about the corporate world, and he's too extreme in one way. And a corporate person is too extreme in the other way. But each can learn from the other, and if when they combine the two, what you have is somebody who's going to be able to sustain success, make be profitable, and then use that profit to create positive change. So I think this whole idea has a lot of merit. You know, it makes sense. People are wanting more than just outside, you know, external success. If you look at even Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, to a large extent, I mean, once they've made the money, now they're looking for something different, and that's where the foundation comes and the giving back comes. Because at the end, when you pass away from this world, you can't take anything with you. And so I think more and more people are realizing that, you know, that that real power is not outside you. The real power is inside you. I mean, external power is limited. Internal power is unlimited. You know, external power, somebody can take it away from you. Internal power is yours to keep, right? So the real power is not outside. The real power is inside.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Azeem, and that's what Inside Wealth is all about. We're saying the same thing, wealth, power. You can almost use the words interchangeably because you can have, as you pointed out with your quote, success without happiness is failure, that, you know, wealth is not a number. Mm-hmm. Wealth is something on the inside, just like power, as you talked about. It's really something from the inside. Mm-hmm. I want to drill down a little further on something you just said, however. Well, you know, when you talked about how, you know, if people like Gates and Buffett, who now, after having amassed billions of dollars of personal financial wealth, are becoming more aware of philanthropy and giving. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there is actually needs to be this chicken and egg type of sequence where can't corporate profitability actually be empowered hand in hand with this culture of giving or vibrancy, and that it's not so much that they need to wait until they make their fortune to go out and be giving?
Yeah, I think, you know, it can be, because ultimately it's a process you want to enjoy, right? I mean, life is a journey to be severed. It's not a destiny to reach. Happiness is also a journey. You know, it's not something that you, if you're waiting to be happy, you'll wait, you know, till the cows come home, right? I mean, the idea is that you have to enjoy the journey, and when you're doing as you're going along, you find that there is a creation of energy that brings you more abundance. The more you give, the more you have. The more you give, the more you create. The more you give, the more you innovate. The more you give, the more you find. The more you give, the more you receive. I mean, the idea is, you know, it's like if you have a closed fist, you can't receive anything. When you open your fist and give, you're also able to receive, right? So I think, yeah, I mean, the beauty would be to keep giving while you're going. I mean, and giving is not just money. Giving could be your time, could be your knowledge, could be your wisdom, could be your skills, could be your compassion. There are many ways of giving, you know, and time is one of it, and knowledge is another. And, of course, wealth is one more. So there are many ways one can give. And so one is not limited to give if you are, for some reason, not financially, you know, abundant right now. But there are many other things you could give, which could be as important as money, or even more important to some degree.
Again, we're here with Azeem Jamal, and he actually wrote a book called The Gift of Giving.
Yeah, we got The Power of Giving, yes.
The Power of Giving, Power of Giving. And we are talking about this power, and as you mentioned, it does show up in many forms. Mm-hmm. And it can be time. It can be wisdom. It can be all talents. It can be all kinds of things, not necessarily money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just kind of wondering here, you know, what are your thoughts in terms of taking this giving and receiving, which is really what you're talking about, and, you know, how can we instill a greater sense of that, even as people think, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough, I'm constantly on the go trying to keep ahead, because a lot of people... You know, you call people in business, and I got a minute and a half, and I'm late. You know, and people aren't, you know, multitasking, and you can't even focus half the time because the to-do list seems to be so, you know, above their scalp line.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and it's a practical question when people are struggling with many, many demands, family demands, professional demands, you know, social demands, and how do you keep up? Yes, I know. I give a tip in my book, The Corporate Sufi, where I say, instead of having a to-do list, start doing an undoing list, right? You know, I mean, undo the things that are not important in your life. And I think giving cannot be undone, because giving is something that you desire from within to create happiness for you, to create meaning for you, to create impact for you. If you look at a cow, for example, you know, a cow, when he stops giving milk, can't get more milk. A sheep which stops giving wool can't get more wool. A tree which has a fruit and nobody takes it, it falls down and rots. A river which stops flowing stagnates. So when you stop giving, you stop creating, period, right? So if you want to create, if you want to tap into your genius, if you want to tap into your power, keep giving, because that's what starts the whole process rolling and creates meaning for your life.
If we were to take it a step further, Azeem, is it your thought, it may be mine actually, that the